is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome back into The Hull Show, powered by Chevron. We are live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Joining me now, our Colorado State Rams insider from the Coloradoan, Kevin Lytle. Kevin, how we feeling, man? A win's a win. They got it done last night. Colorado State found a way in overtime, found a way to get it to overtime. But I'm a little concerned, Kevin. And just like last week, I'm going to need your help here. Talk me off the ledge a little bit here.
Yeah, I mean, the most important thing first off is, everyone wants to be mad and yell and scream, and end the season. But CSU did win, avoided a catastrophic quad four home loss, and that's the most important thing. When 2 months from now, this game won't matter one bit because CSU won. It won't matter, that was close, that they had kind of a miracle last minute to get to overtime. All that matters, they won. So that's the most important thing. But yeah, I mean, am I and some others surely more concerned than we were a week and a half ago, whatever? Yeah, definitely. But I also still don't think like I say, kind of jokingly, but it's not quite time to shut down the program and end the season because they had a close win. So yeah, they still need to improve. They're still not clicking. You hope it's just a slump, which I think it is because that happens in a long college basketball season. But there's no doubt, if CSU wants to be in the upper tier of the Mountain West, they need to play better.
Kevin Lytle joining us. Kevin, okay, so on that note, like you said, like in football, yeah, the playoff committee, they're certainly looking at, even if it was a win, are you struggling against bad teams, whatever. So in basketball, it's flat out win or loss. That's what we're looking at.
Yeah, I mean, there can be some of that, but, this is, to be frank, I know every game feels big right now, and they are. That's not inaccurate. But when you look at the whole scope of the season, the committee is not going to zero in on, a win against Air Force in January. Like, because CSU won, it's kind of just job done. Yeah, the metrics take a small hit, but honestly, because they dominate in overtime, the metrics don't even take a very significant bump or, knock back. So yeah, the win is all that matters. If, let's say, CSU finishes, top two, top three in the Mountain West, they're still going to get a really good seed, and this game, just won't matter at all. So, big picture, fine, everything's good. Small, kind of zoom in view, yeah, things need to improve. The offense is still stuck, if you will. Which it's funny in a way that makes if you're a CSU fan, I think that should make you more comfortable because there's such a history of success that you would think it's going to bounce back. I'd be a lot more alarmed if the defense was terrible, which, there again, things to clean up, rebounding, for instance, last night. But the defense really hasn't been the problem in these last three games.
Yeah, I mean, you hold a team to 69, and you came up with some critical stops when you needed to. Overtime looked about right, Kevin. That looked like the CSU team I think we were all expecting. So what is it then? I mean, is it easy enough to just say they're not shooting well, and when you're not shooting well, you got to find more creative ways to get the ball in the paint?
Yeah, I think the shooting isn't great, but I think it's sort of a bigger problem that's leading to that. Of a lot of the shots they're missing, you sit there and say it's not a bad shot, like it's not a wild reckless, but it's also not a great shot. So you're sort of in that in between. And where does that come from? Nico Medved said some interesting to me last Friday. I think I was at a practice, before this Air Force game, and he said, honestly, I think we're maybe not being stubborn enough on offense of, forcing our way into the paint and being really aggressive and, making us get those really good shots. I think we saw it last night. Medved said again of, Pat Carty, I think, is the biggest example. I think he had only four shots and two of them were threes, so he basically had minimal paint touches, which, he's one of the most efficient paint scorers in the country. And Medved said, we just didn't give him the ball. We had some guys, we were just hesitant passing it into him, and he took some blame too of obviously, he kind of said, obviously I didn't put the guys in the right positions if we weren't feeling comfortable getting the ball into the paint. So I think that's where some of that stubbornness needs to come in of, you know, you think of Outlaw on defense of like, you know, be really gritty and, you know, earn your spot on defense, but it's true on offense too of, you know, make the defense bend to your will a little bit and CSU does that a lot, but they haven't the last few games. So I think that's kind of what we saw yesterday. You know, CSU should win the paint versus Air Force, but they didn't because, you know, I think they weren't stubborn enough to force the ball inside and win inside.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and talking about the Rams getting the win last night against Air Force. Take us through that final sequence, too, Kevin. That was nuts to force overtime. Essentially, you're just ready for Air Force for CSU to foul. Then you're thinking maybe Air Force is going to get a 10-second delay on the back court. And then they look rattled at that point. That was absolutely nuts. I couldn't believe we got this thing to overtime.
The whole final minute was wild because CSU had a couple. You know, Joe Palmer made an incredible steal, but CSU couldn't convert. And then Nick Clifford had a steal and then basically immediately threw the ball away. Like, CSU had a couple chances and threw them away. You thought, wow, you know, that's that. You know, in the final minute, even as you play the foul game, you're not going to get many chances. And Air Force was hitting their free throws. That's normally how you see one of these flip late on. But it didn't happen. You know, CSU made a buck, and then, yeah, the press really worked. You know, that near 10-second violation, I would actually love to go back and check the clock because it looked really close to hitting it, but CSU benefited. The press worked really well. Air Force knew they were up against it, basically just hurled the ball forward, hoping to get across. Right in the hands of Isaiah Stevens, he just flipped up to Nick Clifford for a dunk. But even then, Air Force had two pretty good looks at the rim to win it at the buzzer, and they, you know, fell short. And then, yeah, it felt like once it got to overtime, CSU was going to have an advantage. And sure enough, Josiah Strong hitting that three right away, I think it just let the team exhale. It was like, oh, yeah, we're okay. Like, this is what we should be. Air Force, I think, fatigued too because they basically play like six or seven guys. You know, Ethan Taylor played all 45 minutes. So even though they play at slow pace, 45 minutes is brutal. So CSU did what they needed in overtime and you know, momentum doesn't carry, I don't think, across days, but maybe confidence can, and maybe that 5 minutes of overtime was almost like a reminder of like, hey, guys, like, you know, we're pretty good on offense. Like, calm down, we're fine.
Kevin, the one I was worried about, honestly, was the UNLV game coming up on Friday. didn't think Air Force was going to give them such a scare. But again, like you said to start, they got the win. Now you go up against a UNLV team that certainly shows that they're capable of winning some big games.
I mean, right now you have to lump UNLV in with this top group of Mountain West contenders because of what they've done so far. I mean, they should have beat Utah State. It took a miracle / horrendous call for Utah State to beat UNLV with a crazy comeback in the final 10 seconds. That was, you know, to be frank, one of the worst calls I've ever seen. If you don't know it, just, you know, kind of look it up on Twitter or online or whatever. And then they go into Boise, who obviously was hot, beat CSU, won at Nevada, and they beat up Boise and win that game. So UNLV, you know, their non-conference didn't show it, but they seem to be figuring some stuff out, and they're certainly dangerous. So just copy and paste this statement for the rest of the year. This game is really difficult. You can say that for Friday. You can say it for next Wednesday. You can say it for the one after that and after that and after that. This league is just completely insane.
Yeah, no, it really is. It'll be interesting to see what that game looks like. 8:30 FS1. So you'll get people will get to watch it on, you know, like regular television.
Yep, I think. So I don't want to go out here and say like this is an easier game for CSU than Air Force because I don't think that's quite true. But in some ways, it's a better matchup. One, coming off a break for Air Force, Air Force just plays funky stuff. The Princeton offense, the weird matchup zone defense. CSU has a lot of guys, Nick Clifford, Joel Scott, even Josiah Strong, that haven't played against it. So, you know, they were in rhythm. CSU was not. UNLV will play a bit more traditional style, if you will. Now, granted, their skill level and athleticism is way, way, way up from Air Force, but should be, you know, quote-unquote, more normal basketball game for CSU. So I think that helps. And then, you know, it's a huge, I expect probably a sellout, orange-out crowd, should be really rowdy in there. You know, that helps. It's been hard to win on the road, even though UNLV just did it. So, yeah, another big game, another important game against a team that really seems to be figuring it out. And this is one of those tricky ones of UNLV, I think, is definitely very good, but the metrics aren't great right now. So, you know, it could be an understandable loss on the eye test, but not great on the metrics test. So, again, just welcome to the Mountain West. Every night is just brutal.
UNLV is interesting, too. They got they have twin brothers playing on there in their starting lineup, too. I think that's cool.
Yeah, and one of them was ineligible this season until the NCAA decided to put their hands up and say, oops, we actually don't have any rules anymore. And he became eligible mid-season, so he's now playing and playing really well. So I mean, their team literally changed mid-season because of the complete chaos in the NCAA. So that's thrown another wrinkle kind of in the whole thing, too. So, again, just welcome to the madness.
Kevin, what was he ineligible for, do you know?
I believe it was one of these it was a two-time transfer, so he was going to have to sit this year and play next year. But then that whole thing went down, which we've seen with, you know, Clay Millen and others, that, you know, they can now play right away. So because it happened during basketball season, he just stepped into the lineup.
Wow, interesting. Well, we'll see what this CSU team can do coming up on Friday. Kevin, my man, looking forward to Rams Weekly tomorrow. And we'll just try to catch up with you soon.
Absolutely. Going to be a fun one. Another fun week in the basketball season.
Got the win, like you said, most important. So we're moving on, getting set for UNLV coming up on Friday. Kevin, we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado. And 48 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a quick break. We'll wrap up hour number one. In the second hour, we got our top story of the day coming up. We'll get back to our poll question. Interesting stories with the quarterbacks here, Angel. I think maybe you can say this about every quarterback in the league, but each one of these guys has a really interesting kind of redemption story. Some, you know, a little bit more impressive than others, but the quarterbacks that have moved on to the divisional round really have some unique stories. 48 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show, powered by Chevron, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFK.
Get your game day forecast with meteorologist Cody Wilson. Fridays on Good Morning NoCo, only on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.